Hello, and welcome to episode 29 of Seize Up, the Young Surly Genius Field podcast for Celtics fans. I'm Dee Dee.
I'm Olivia.
And we're here to talk about the Celtics and a certain surly point guard's triumphant return, among other things. But first of all, we want to let you know our contact information. On email, you can contact us at seizeuppodcast@gmail.com. That's CSUPPODCAST@gmail. Twitter, we're at seizeuppodcast. You can also hear this blog on iTunes and on, did I just say blog? Edit.
It's a blog source.
Yes, you can also hear this podcast on iTunes, as well as Olivia's wonderful blog, iamcausewaystreet.tumblr.com. So, yeah, lots of ways of getting in touch with us, letting us know what you think of the show. So, on to our Celtics news and notes, and we have a lot of them. Danny Ainge is starting to let people know what he has planned for all those draft picks he's got in his pocket. He's not just going to throw them on a bed and roll around in them. He
probably did that at first.
Yeah, as many as he's got. He's told the Boston Herald that, quote, "I've always believed that you build through the draft," end quote. So, and he's got just an unbelievable number of picks through at least, I want to say, 2018. So, he's building on the model that he's used before, and also on the model that teams like Oklahoma City have done building through the draft.
And he has a decent track record considering he's usually had to go late in the first round.
Yeah,
he's with Rondo, Avery, Sully.
Yep. So he likes those late first rounders. Mm-hmm. So
we won't be that late anymore. So
15-33, baby. good grief. And now we know there's probably not another blockbuster deal on the horizon. So he probably won't try to bundle up those picks with a player and try to get some star in return this year. Maybe. I don't know. I never know with this good.
You never know with Trader Dan.
You never know. So, but I guess he's trying to make people think that he's planning on building through the draft, which would be a long process. So, exactly. Brace yourselves. I read
this.
Sorry, what? So I read something on Grantland about Rondo shooting. Of course, he's known to be a terrible shooter. And he is pretty bad from three. But he's really good on the elbows. And around... yeah, he's really good on the elbows. And I've already seen him shoot a couple of... elbow jumpers today and make them. So, even in practice, you can see him drill a whole bunch of shots from that spot on the floor. So, and that's where he got that great percentage of mid-range shots last year before his injury. So, I'll have to link that in the show notes. It's kind of interesting. So before you start talking about how bad his shot is, just consider that it's bad in most areas, but it's good. It's good in one. Earlier, I think maybe last week, there were talks about Ainge and Rondo having discussed a contract extension. And of course, it makes more sense for Rondo to wait for free agency because he'll have a chance to make more money then. And then some report came out saying that, quoting him, that he's very interested in trying out free agency.
And then when he was confronted with that quote, he laughed in their faces.
So I don't know what to think. We might find out that it's true or not. I mean,
Maybe he wants to be courted. I mean, he deserves that.
and if we're going to continue to have a debate of that he's not a max player, where when other people in Washington are getting the max out here, then yeah, he might as well step out and try it, have a cup of coffee with a couple of teams. I don't see why not. Just your daily reminder that John Wall is out here getting the max. Related to nothing. And getting an all-star spot. Related to nothing. Back to the Celtics. Avery Bradley was out for a couple of weeks with an ankle sprain, but he's back now. He's playing in today's game against the Orlando Magic. But when Avery went out, Ainge brought up another D League guard who's back in the D League right now. So, unlike Chris Johnson, he will not get another 10-day contract. So,
It's nice that we're making use of
we're using the D League guard.
it.
Well, there were a lot of trades that happened since the last time we did a show. We lost Steez, so it's good that we had one last episode, dedicated to him, our Eastern
Yes.
Conference Player of the Week. We lost Steez. We lost Courtney Lee. He went to Memphis, and he's playing really well for them right now. So good for him. Who else left? Who else got traded? I feel I'm missing somebody. Somebody went to Golden State with Crawford. Do not remember.
To be honest, out of sight, out of mind.
Oh well. So a lot of trades have been going on to, excuse me, make way for Rondo's return, to leave some cap space open for whatever Ainge has in mind. And just get some more flexibility, I suppose, and get rid of all of the guards. We had so many guards, so many two guards, not enough point guards again. Ainge just loves him, so two guards. So,
So do you think he'll try to trade Jeff Green this season?
I don't know. I'm sure Ainge wants to. I'm sure he's itching to trade everybody on the damn roster, but Jeff's play has been up and down, so I don't know if he would be an attractive chip right now.
I wonder if it's hurt him that Danny and really his teammates too in the past have kind of shopped him as a superstar when he might have better served as a role player.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Zach Lowe from Grantland, calls him. Says that that's all he is and all he ever will be or whatever. And that's fine. But I guess then they look at that contract and say, well, should a nice role player be making 9 mil a year?
Yeah. Only 2 million less than an actual superstar on his team.
Well, that's funny. You people want to call him a superstar when they're talking about trades for superstars, but any other time they want to downplay his role or his impact on the game or the team or whatever. They want to downplay everything. So it's just funny how that word gets thrown around with
That's
regard
true.
to Rhonda. So it's inconsistent the way they use that word when to describe him. But yeah, so there were rumors that Jeff might be traded, that Brandon might be traded, and you really never know.
Yeah.
So
And I don't know if there will be any major regrets if those trades happen. But I don't want Danny to just like clean the place out and then we have nothing but draft picks. Because that doesn't always work.
draft
You know,
picks and D-leaguers.
you need to draft a like cornerstone, and those only come along every once in a while. I mean, that's the teams that have rebuilt through the draft. Yeah, that's really smart, but they got lucky. They got like a Kevin Durant or a Tim Duncan or a LeBron James. Like,
Yeah.
and even then, you can't always do it right. So.
And even then, it took years of development. And you got the coach that can help develop players now,
Yeah.
or that wants to develop players. No
Yeah.
offense. But so Stevens probably has more patience to deal with, developing players.
Yeah. He hates losing. I know that much.
Well, sorry.
I don't mind it, actually.
He was brought in. You don't. He was. Why not?
I'm used to it now.
Oh my God. We've been numb to it. We've been numbed by bad basketball.
We won 2 games in January.
Jesus.
So we lost 15.
Good grief. We are never getting to 500.
No, I don't. That's the worst place you can be. I don't want to be at 500. That's where we were last year.
But it sucks that these guys just probably feel like they're playing for nothing.
Yeah. That's when you realize that all you can control is yourself. And even then, you can't really. If you get traded or uprooted, it's gotta be tough.
Yeah. And especially when you got a guy like Crash on your team talking about you're not trying hard enough. Well, look at this roster, Crash. Look at this freaking roster. If Rondo's not complaining and you are, then you. Okay, that might have to go into late night hate night. I'm sorry.
Luckily, Rondo has like his own mission too. He's coming back from injury. He's recovering. He's got something to work towards. So hopefully everyone else has like an individual goal that they're aiming towards.
Yeah. And I'm aiming towards Crash to get traded. Oh, Rondo just hit a high runner off the backboard.
Yay.
Love.
I'm guessing this is his best game of the season so far.
He might get like 10 or more assists in this joint. He's, well, just as Brandon bricks a jumper. But he's getting better. He's getting better. He's playing more minutes. So, but if it, and the thing is, if Ainge is planning to build through the draft, that might take years.
Yeah.
I don't know how many fans are going to be on board for a several year long rebuild. I mean, people are ready to jump ship at 15 and 33. So this is tough.
Milwaukee's still like single digit wins, right? Yeah, eight.
Oh God. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not a Bucks fan. I would hate to have to watch those games.
Yeah.
If all you knew of basketball was the
The
Milwaukee Bucks,
Bucks.
because that's
Ooh.
all of the basketball that you watched, because that was your team,
Ooh.
you'd be a sad, bitter person.
I mean, you've got some Kareem and Oscar glory days, but that was long ago.
And that's what it was. Marshawn Brooks, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. We're all over.
This is what happens when you don't podcast in a month. Okay, that's the other person that went to Golden State with Crawford, Marshawn Brooks. So maybe he'll get more playing time there than he got in Boston. But I doubt it. Oh, yeah, so Joel Anthony came to Boston. And I have yet to see him clock in any minutes. Maybe I haven't been paying attention, but
Bench warmer.
I suppose. I just can't believe that Ainge would do any deal, even a three-way deal with darn Miami. But he got a draft pick out of it, so that's all he cares about.
Some people count rings, and he counts draft picks. Although he can count some rings too.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about the emotional devastation of last Sunday, or?
Yes, we do. We want to talk about it in our game watch, because that's probably the bright spot, actually, of the game watch. All we have are a whole bunch of L's. Just L after L after L. There was the Atlanta game, and there was all these close losses in the game watch. Atlanta was a close game. The Pelicans game was down to the wire. OKC was not. No. When they went west, they got blown out, except for the Golden State game. That was won on a Steph Curry jumper, because of course.
Golden State gets sleepy sometimes.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, when they came and played the Wizards, they were turning the ball over hilariously in the first half. I was laughing out loud, and disturbing my roommates. I was like, really? Just threw the ball away like that? Really, y'all? Some of y'all are all stars doing this. But yeah, so yeah, they are stupid sloppy with the ball. But they still managed to win. The Portland game was a blowout. It was going to be a blowout. We managed to win against Toronto because we usually beat Toronto. Well, except when we don't. Triumphant return of Rondo came against the Lakers. Unfortunately, we couldn't get the W because that was another close game. And this team just sucks in crunch time.
Means we're good at losing.
Thanks, Safari, for Jabari. Riggin for Wiggins. Embiid for Embiid. That's all the sayings that I've seen on Twitter. We coming for y'all. We coming for that number one lotto spot. There was the Washington game where Jeff Green just went nuts. I guess when he's home, he likes to ball out. So 39 points, and I win in overtime on, I think, of all things, a crash drive to the hoop, but whatever. We're not dwelling on that. The star of the game was Jeff Green. So it was a win. That was interesting. Those are few and far between this year. The Thunder came to Boston. KD sat on the bench with Russie, and we still got blown out.
Good times.
It was so not good times. It was so not good. I was just waiting. I was like, oh God, this might be the game. This might be the game. Rondo loses it and gets a suspension. But it wasn't. It wasn't. Somebody put some extra patience in Rondo's Gatorade, and we made it. Oh, and the Miami game. The Miami game was before. Yeah, it was before the Washington game. Yeah, because I think it was after Orlando. That was another game I thought, oh yeah, we will win if Rondo, actually comes away from this game, with no fines. We will win. That is a win. Cause they were throwing him on the floor. I saw Shane Battier, try to pull people down to the floor and flop and all that kind of mess. Cause we were actually competing for the first three quarters, like we always do. And because Miami's in that mode right now where they don't really care, they know they could just limp along and still get the two seed, as long as they make a push later in the season. And it's another reason among many why I hate the Heat. Because they can just coast for half the year. Because the conference sucks. And anyway. But okay, now Olivia, Brooklyn versus Boston.
Well, I don't know. I've kind of like poured out my entire soul on my Tumblr
And that's okay.
from this game. It was like th this season has just plain sucked. No matter who you're a fan of, it just hasn't been fun. Everyone's hurt. And teams can coast. They can afford to coast right now because everyone sucks. But this game was a bright spot, much needed after months of just, kind of apathy towards the game. And the best part was that it wasn't even because of the basketball being played, because it was an ugly game. That was some, what was the first quarter score? Like somebody was in the teens, I want to say.
It was probably us.
But I'd even then, the crowd was just fantastic for all the right reasons. Just like completely pouring everything out, letting Paul and Kevin know how much they mean to the fan base and to the city. And that was really amazing to see. And I think Paul and Kevin were just kind of shocked. I mean, they have to know that they've made their mark and they've done really important things. But to see all of these people standing up, wearing their jerseys, just accepting them back completely and cheering for minutes. You could see on their faces, they were just speechless. And that was what made the whole evening worth it. And it was cool to see other players from other teams watching the game and talking about it like they deserved that. It's really cool to see that. And it made me think, I saw some other people tweet this too, like, how can players see this and not want to play for the Celtics? Because it is a special Celtic experience, I think. You know, when players go back, they're greeted with warmth if they've been popular in the fan base, no matter where they go. But there was something really special about that. And I do hope that, you know, potential free agents and things like that see that and would maybe want to play here. I can understand why they wouldn't too. But that was really special.
Yep. So Kevin Love, when you're thinking about LA or Boston, I know you used to watch the Celtics. So, you know, when you're thinking about that warm LA climate and everything like that, also think about you have to deal with Kobe, or
could deal with someone who's really cool secretly. He packs Teddy Grahams
on Caprisons.
Caprisons.
I know you want in on that action, Kevin Love.
Come on.
Come to Boston.
He probably already got some of that with Ricky Rubio, to be honest. Ricky probably does the same thing, but
it's better with Rondo.
The original RR9.
Yes, please.
That would be cool though. Throw everybody for a loop, because everyone just says, "Oh, Kevin Love's gonna go to the Lakers." And every time I remember he posted a picture on Instagram of a book written by Jerry West, and everyone's like, "How dare you!"
Oh my God. Isn't he the logo? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So just chill. I mean, I know one, you know, industrious player had the nerve to wear their headband upside down because the logo was of a Lakers player. But other than that, most people don't take it that seriously. It doesn't mean... mean anything. Gosh. So that was just the video tributes were beyond touching. I think I was in tears when they did the introductions. And they came out and everybody was just cheering for them. They got the introductions on the Celtics side wrong, because I swear to God, they announced that Rondo was 6'3", and I'm like,
I heard that too. Like, what?
When did he grow? Did he grow in rehab?
What?
And all of a sudden Wallace is a guard, and I'm confused because I thought he was a forward.
6'3".
In what universe? Kevin Garnett said he was 5'11 without shoes. So how did he go? Okay, Paul George grew a few inches, but he's like 20 something. He's in his early 20s. Rondo's pushing. He's like 3 years away from 30, so. When did he grow? But I guess they were all out of sorts for K Kevin and Paul's return, so I let it slide, but
Yeah.
how are you going to mess up the introductions on your own team?
Maybe Ronville made them throw that in there, see if anyone was listening.
The 6'3" guard from Kentucky. Wait, what? Who is this? Is that someone we got from the D League? I was confused. But yeah, I was crying from then when I saw when KG did the salute and Paul Pierce came out, and I miss those guys.
Me too. And they looked really happy. They looked like they felt at home.
And I think at times they got confused. They didn't get confused, but they felt, they were walking up the court with Rondo and patting him on the head like they were still teammates. And I was like, y'all, look at your uniform. Look at your uniform. Look at his. Rondo was looking like, y'all know y'all not on the team no more. Stop patting my head like this.
Rhonda's like, I'm trying to keep my cool, but
Right. We're not going to talk about plays. We can't do that like we did before. Aw. But like that picture that was on the Boston Globe.
yeah.
See Kevin, fitting his hole, fitting Rondo's head in his palm. I'm like, dude, I wouldn't want to know that somebody could fit his head in in his palm. And he's a basketball player and a really good one. I mean, he could bounce it anyway. But that was just really.
That's the only person allowed to touch Rondo's head, by the way.
Yeah, or trash talking, which he wasn't paying any attention to. Was the best. I could have watched 15 minutes of KG trying to guard Rondo.
I would not have been mad if they spent the fourth quarter just like talking, goofing
Wagged up.
around.
Of course, they'd have to put that on like pay-per-view or something.
Yeah.
But it would have been awesome.
I would have paid for it. And I actually love that KG and Paul were so nervous that, they were cold to start.
Yeah.
It took them a while to warm up.
Yeah, and actually thought, and it actually gave the Celtics and their fans hope that they might win this game, but no, they warmed up in the fourth quarter and remember what team that they played for, and it wasn't
Rondo
great.
may have slipped a pass to KG.
Yeah, a couple really silly turnovers, but yeah, but that was an assist, right?
Oh, yeah.
In a way. So what else? There was Rondo trying to double P Paul on a jumper. There was just so much weird, wild stuff, which made you made it worth being aired on ESPN. And I'm
Yeah.
so glad it wasn't a total blowout on
No.
ESPN. Yeah, Rondo wasn't gonna let it be a total blowout,
No.
even on a rehabbing knee. But and he was almost at a triple double on this game. So all those people who want to talk about national TV Rondo, I guess they have more fuel for the fire. I guess we could have a rant about that, but I'm not.
Everybody loves the spotlight. Come on.
I mean, like you act like he. If KD was on League Pass, for 60 out of 82 games, do you think he would go for these numbers? Do we have national TV KD? Which is like, I mean, OKC
Every,
on every game.
yeah.
Anyway,
Or, I mean, when Kobe's playing, the Lakers are on national TV, it's like 4 nights a week.
Even if they're a bunch of, if they're Pau Gasol and a bunch of D-leaguers right now. Anyway.
How about Paul and Kevin finishing each other's sentences in their press conference? Are they trying to kill me?
Trying to kill us all with feels. Like, look, you could have had this still in Boston, but you traded us away
Man.
for draft picks. Oh, God. Anyway,
And
wait,
Paul's all like, I don't want to say he's like my brother because we're the same age. I don't know. And KG's like, I am your big brother. Come on. What are you talking about?
I'm bigger than you. Some of your
When Paul tweeted that picture of his clam chowder, that was with Rondo and KG. No.
And right before the AFC title game, he tweeted his Pats jersey, and
Of course.
I swear, you can take the Celtic out of Boston. He can't take the Boston out of Celtic.
No.
He's bust until the end.
When they're 6 feet under, according to KG. Oh,
Bury
so
me in
much
green.
we. God. It hurts.
Oh. Oh man, I just they did they deserve better. They deserve better than Jason Kidd, which leads us to Late Night Hate Night.
Yay!
Woo!
What we've all been waiting for.
These rants have been stored up in our souls for too long. So, I think you need to have at it, 'cause this one was your baby. So go ahead.
Well, when you have to tell a player to knock your drink over, just stall. It's not good. And I'm just not. I know it's his first season as a coach, but I'm not impressed at all with Jason Kidd's job as a coach. And it makes me even angrier that Paul and Kevin have to put up with this in what's probably their last season, if not second to last.
Not to mention the Frank situation, when the most experienced coach on your staff is made to write reports for $1 million a year.
Yeah.
That whole situation is just sketchy, McSketchersons.
But ever since, I don't know if people have, I think people are making the connection that ever since he started writing their reports, they've turned things around with their record. They're still 5 games under .500. Hey, but at least they're seventh in the East. So they'll play in Miami and get swept.
Yes, that's what everyone's always wanted for Paul and Kevin. Ah,
That's
oh,
not how it should end.
no,
Like,
it's not.
please.
No, I think, well, first of all, I don't think it had anything to do. I think it has to do. Their decline was when Lopez got hurt and they found out he was out for the season. That's when things went slid way downhill, right? Then
Yeah.
and then Deron Williams was out too. And just a whole bunch of good to decent players got injured. And they had to up. It was like last year in Boston all over again, where the young guys got hurt and the old guys had to take more minutes to keep them in games.
Yeah.
And now I think they're starting to get Deron Williams back. So now that helps them offensively, I guess. And Joe Johnson has been having a couple of crazy scoring efforts, which I guess earned him an all-star spot, but whatever. And then Kirilenko's been getting more minutes and playing really well. And I
So the
think
old
that
guys.
I mean, and that's what contributes to the uptick while they've been winning more games, I would think. Has absolutely very little to do with Mr. Kidd's coaching. Also, he's cribbing notes from Doc Rivers with regards to KG's minutes, and I see it. Like, he did the thing where he moved KG to center, and he's been playing more minutes. But now they've got him back on a regimen, you know, that five in, five out regimen. So, but you still, you didn't make that up, kid. You got that from Doc. You got all of that from Doc. So, I think coaches around the league are helping him for some reason. For some reason, they just like this dude, and they want to
I
help him.
don't know why.
They want to help him succeed, and it's not gonna really help anybody because it doesn't really. If you help them to a seventh seed, first round sweep, that doesn't help anybody. Except maybe Boston. Wait, how does our draft pick work?
Isn't it between us and Atlanta, whoever has the worst?
I think it's between Brooklyn and Atlanta.
Oh.
So, I don't know, but yeah, so because I know a lot of people were hoping for Atlanta to do poorly. And it seems like Atlanta's just going to be Atlanta. No matter who's injured. Atlanta's just going to be Atlanta. But I'd rather them be the seventh seed
Yeah.
than Brooklyn. But yeah, the whole it's not just I feel like I want to have late night hate night, not just for J Kidd, but for this whole team, this whole concept of the Brooklyn Nets, which is just a high-priced Atlanta Hawks. No offense, just the Atlanta Hawks with a huge luxury tax, and I'm not sure why we need this many New York teams in the league. If it weren't for KG and Paul, I'd contract both of those suckers. Anyway, is that enough hate? Is that enough hate for y'all?
Ooh, it's getting real.
I'm not sure. But yeah, I'm not feeling a lot of love, and I really now I feel I want to. This is spilling into my late night hate night rant about Danny Ainge, and why would you send them there? There are other teams that they could be sent, that they could have been sent to, other teams with draft picks. Send them to a real contender. But I guess Ainge was just looking for the biggest dupe with the biggest pockets. I'm sorry, Prokhorov, you fit the bill.
Yeah, well, he's a billionaire, so of course he'd take on those salaries, but
I mean, does he really want a contender, or does he just want a mediocre playoff team? I guess mediocre playoff teams make enough profit to be sustainable, I guess. I don't know. But don't tell me you're trying to build a contender.
Well, I think what Jay-Z learned too, now that he's out, is that you can make them look cool and get all the names, but that's not enough to make a championship team.
No. Also, he was barely in. He owned like maybe 1 or 2%, but oh, anyway.
He was about to blame for them to being bad.
No. But what happened to the Nets could go 0 for 82? And he would look at you like this. Stuff is crazy. Happened to that? Anyway. I'm all over the place again. I'm trying to hold you to your word, sir. Anyway. Also, I don't know. Do you have any more hate to throw the Nets' way?
I just it's downgraded to like an eye roll occasionally. I don't see the anger anymore about it, but I am disappointed.
Yeah. Just contract it.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm done with them. I'm done with the Nets. I'm tired of all of that drama. I don't care where Melo goes as long as he doesn't go anywhere near Boston.
No, thank you.
I mean, it's funny how people are so eager to trade him to Chicago. I'm like, Tibbs doesn't want any of Melo, and Melo doesn't want to deal with Tibbs. That would actually be funny to watch, though, if it ever happened. Melo would be out there 44 minutes a game.
Oh, God.
And Jimmy Butler.
Oh, poor Jimmy.
If Melo complained, Jimmy would be like, "Hey, I played 60."
And Joe. Oh, wow. They would not get along. Melo and Joakim?
Oh
No.
my God. But hey, somebody put Chris Humphries on the Celtics. So they would have to make it work.
I bet they sit at opposite sides of the locker room. Rondo doesn't even look at him.
He's like, "Just catch my passes and we'll be cool." Oh my dear. Anyway, but speaking of Chicago, I have feelings about this dang trade. As many people know, All-Star forward Luol Deng from the Chicago Bulls was traded recently for Andrew Bynum's expiring contract because Chicago waived him the day they got him. So it looks like either Tibbs is going to ring Joe and Taj and Jimmy Butler, just ring them through with minutes and just to win games when I guess the front office is mainly looking toward the draft.
But there needs to be some communication there, like, hey, don't grind these players down to a nub for no reason.
Who's gonna tell that to Tibbs? Would you? That's the thing. But yeah, I mean, he was already killing Dang with minutes. So the one bright side of this is that Dang will live to see his next contract extension.
Yeah.
But
And hopefully he'll finally get that wrist surgery and just take care of himself.
I mean, if you're gonna trade him to Cleveland, I would be like, "Look, let me just go ahead and get this surgery, and y'all can do what y'all are gonna do, which is tank, again." But the thing is, Cleveland has tanked all these years, they've gotten some not so great players out of it. Beside
No.
Kyrie,
Of course.
who is a very good one-way player, but still a one-way player. And I really think that people get so dazzled by his scoring that they ignore the lack of defense. When there are other two-way players in the league at his position that are balling right now and keeping their teams afloat, hi, Mike Conley Jr., and don't get as much credit. But anyway, that was a tangent. Cleveland,
Hey,
yes.
it's late night, hate night.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Because Conley also got snubbed at the in the All-Stars, which wouldn't happen if Memphis was an Eastern Conference team like it should be. But I'm all over the place with my hate and my tangents. What was I saying? Cleveland. Yeah, Cleveland hasn't gotten very good players out of the draft, so maybe they should not tank anymore because they're not good at it. They're not good at reaping the benefits of it. They've gotten Dion Waiters, who is looking like a disruptive force in the locker room, and Anthony Bennett, who barely sees the floor. They're not good at this. They need to stop. They might as well just make the playoffs. Because they're not using the draft to its full capacity. But sucks for Bulls fans because a lot of people really loved Lou. I mean, I'm a Celtics fan. I love Lou.
Yeah.
How can you not? He was a great influence on Derrick Rose. And, Tibbs loved him, even though
Joe
he
loved
tried to
him.
kill him. Yeah, Joe really loved him. I mean, Joe didn't even want to talk about it for the first few days. And when he finally got his words together, they were really very thoughtful and just warm toward his
Yeah.
former teammate. And that was good to see. And it's just another reminder of why you gotta love Joakim Noah, even if you're a Celtics fan. Because
Absolutely.
he's so KG about it.
They're so alike, it's not
It's
even
not,
funny.
it isn't, it's not even funny. But I was like, he was so KG with it, and now I was just crying.
But Joe, your KG is showing.
So obvious. But yeah, I really hated this deal. I hate that Dang is stuck in Cleveland because that situation in the locker room, from what I hear, is not great.
And wasn't it Joe who said Cleveland is like a toxic place?
Yes, it was. And that's where you send an all-star who's a stabilizing influence in the locker room, who was the best defender on your team, who skipped wrist surgery to play in the playoffs and represent his new home country in the Olympics, who tried to come back from spinal meningitis to play in the playoffs.
And that's the thanks he gets.
So yeah, that's why I had to include that on Hate Night, Late Night Hate Night, because I hated that trade for Dang. And I hope that he does not extend with them. I hope that there are other teams that will see his talent and pick him up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Enjoy the team, hard as it can be sometimes. Enjoy the show and seize up. Bye.